Welcome one, welcome all to the basketball edition of the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. I know y'all weren't expecting me so quickly, but it's your boy, I'll be sure. And it's time for a season preview, so of course I gotta have my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dylan?
Back to my happy place, basketball season, where times are generally good.
I mean, if we're being real, in the fall, there's only one real season, you know what I'm saying? It's all basketball season because we're a basketball school. So I also have the other host for the Air Raid Podcast, Jeremy Gillen, with us. What's up, Jeremy?
Hello, everybody. I am super stoked to be back in Sphereball season. But to be fair, and I thought about it before I said it, volleyball team doing very well. Women's soccer team obviously making it to the NCAA tournament as a high national four seed, playing this Friday against Pepperdine. Be there to support if you can. But guys, I'm super stoked to be back in a sport that we win at. God, what a feeling.
Yeah, you know, way to be all inclusive, Jeremy. I like it. I like it. So I know that y'all have been listening to the highs and lows of the football season this year, but you know, I don't like being depressed every other week. So basketball, we're all a lot happier. We want to get into that. We want to get into a season preview. We know that they've already had a couple games, but I really don't care about EIU and Bethune-Cookman. So let's go ahead and talk about the season. But before we get into the 2019-2020 year, gentlemen, I got to at least touch on last year, right? Tip the hat to last year. National champion, national runner-ups last year. Should have been champions.
That hurt.
but national runner-up. Anything that y'all want to say about last year's team? Jeremy?
Immensely proud of the way that team worked. We were talking pre-pod. This is not a team that a lot of people expected to go as far as they did. Certainly, we were able to use that as kind of fuel, especially in the postseason. Upset at how it ended, but man, I was glad to be a part of the ride.
Yeah, probably one of the most historic runs in Texas Tech history. And that team and the team before it will go down as like the groundwork for Chris Beard's dynasty.
Most definitely. And way that that team can kind of live on is, you know, those players being really good in the pros. And so that team actually produced the most, American pros that one team has produced for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Currently, right now, five guys suited up for an NBA or NBA G League team already. So let's go with it. First off, Brandon Francis was picked up by the Iowa Wolves, the Minnesota T-Wolves G League team. Then he's been waived. So right now he's on waivers. I think he's a G League free agent. No news on Brandon Francis, so hopefully he finds a new home. But the fact that he, you know, did try out for the team, he was on the team, worked out with the team, at least is good news for sure. Other guys that are still on their teams, one thing is we got teammates already. Tariq Owens, Norrence Odiasse, both playing for the Northern Arizona Suns. Loving it. Signing autographs for the NAS Suns. Good for them. Tariq Owens, as you know, he signed a undrafted free agent contract the day of the NBA draft. So he was always going to be part of the Suns' long-term plans. Odiasse worked his butt off in the G League. He eventually made the G League team. He eventually made the G League team. Then we got Matt Mooney, who balled out in the G League for the Hawks. And so he is on now the Grizzlies.
One correction for you, Albie. I just looked this up. He got waived yesterday none other than Dusty Hannes.
You gotta be kidding me.
Just add to that. You know what's funny about that? You know what's funny about that? In the summer, Dylan, we talked about the fact that it'd be between Matt Mooney and Dusty Hannes for that spot in the Grizzlies, right? Didn't we talk about that? And it seemed like Mooney had beat him out. And then another reason why I hate Dusty Hannes.
He's a lights out shooter. In the NBA, you can't put a price on shooting.
No, so what? Mooney's a better defender, and he can also shoot, but he's a better defender.
Correct. And yeah. No, I agree with you, but.
Man, Mooney will get picked up. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And then there was another guy on that team last year. I can't really put my finger on it. There was y'all remember another guy on last year's team?
Well, he started his first NBA game the other day.
Oh, seen a couple Derek Culver. That's right. Jarrett Culver on Minnesota Timberwolves did start his first NBA game. You know, balling. So that's kind of a where are they now? That 2018-2019 team doing really well. But the team, because of this success, was gutted. Like, everybody's gone from that team. This year's team, very different. So different that we only have three returners. And you know what's funny? They said it in the first game of the season. I was like, no way. There's no way we only have three returners. Only have three returners. Davide Moretti, Kyler Edwards, Avery Benson. What do you think about the three returners? Dylan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's concerning. You know, you look at some of these other teams that are maybe bringing back a little bit more, but what we saw last year is Chris Beard is able to make it up with really good freshmen, like mature freshmen, and then a couple grad transfers, and it's what he's done. So,
yeah, I mean, Jeremy, is only having three returners going to affect this team, you know, throughout the season?
Man, it's a big fat target on our back. I know not only sports pundits, but coaches, everybody's honing in on the fact that this Texas Tech team is quote unquote inexperienced. And by their estimation, it's because we haven't played together. But like Dylan said, Beard has a quality about him, about bringing people together and creating adhesiveness that, I mean, through the first two games we've seen, it's just continually it's building. So I think people will spy it as a weakness, and there might be times where we can think, shoot, like that, the chemistry's not there. But each game, it's going to get a little bit better.
So I will say,
hold on. Let me hop in one more time here. I was wrong about Matt Mooney. That was written a month ago.
Oh my God.
Was waived by the Memphis Grizzlies for Dusty Hannes. He does play for their G League team. Put up 11 points like last night.
Can we already fire Dylan from this podcast?
Goodbye, Dylan.
At least I correct my mistakes. That's just true. Don't hope that I catch them later.
That's true. Somebody would have tweeted at you. Somebody definitely would have tweeted at you. Well, actually, guys, so good job. You well actually yourself live, so good for you. I do want to well actually us all, though. So I will say this. We only have three guys who played last year, but let's not forget Kevin McCullough and Andre Savrasov were technically on the team last year. So they've actually still had at least a semester to still be with the team and gain that continuity. Not to mention everybody was here in the summer. These guys have been working out, you know, beforehand. I know Terrence Shannon and Jamias Ramsey had worked out a lot in the summer before they even got to Lubbock. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, it's kind of as if Beard recruits guys that's going to fit his system beforehand, these high character guys off already. So that helps. And kind of like you said, this is not Beard's first time basically with a makeshift roster. He's virtually done it at every stop, right? That he had a makeshift roster. So this, I think, and also not only that, but where this team is not really worried about November, they're worried about February and March. And throughout the year, you're hoping that by February and March, this team really is coming on strong.
Yeah, because if you watch the first couple games, there's freshman mistakes are made, the turnovers are there, the team on offense doesn't play together as well as they should. So it's a process. You've heard it in Chris Beard's press conferences. It's gonna take a while to get these guys together, but it's the most talented bunch we've ever had.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, let me add to that. From being at the game last Saturday, after Nadolny had a technical for who knows what a real reason, Beard was getting in his face as if it was a game in March. And so I think we should be really appreciative of how serious Beard takes the game from the very early steps, understanding that, you know, he's got to build that foundation so that they're, you know, battle tested before March even begins.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing, Beard's going to coach him hard. And I think that's one of the bigger differences between Coach Beard and some of the other coaches we've had here is that it doesn't matter if we're playing Bethune-Cookman or Kansas. Coach Beard's going to play just as hard. You know what you're going to get with Coach Beard every practice, every game. He's going to be the same guy. Nothing's going to change. So it's going to be business as usual. And that's one of the reasons why I think we have the culture that this team has. So let's kind of talk about some of those players, some of the new guys that we have on the court. So the first guy I kind of want to talk about is my boy. I've been talking about him for a long time. Jamias Ramsey. It's kind of already showed you how good he's going to be with leading scorer in the first game. Already dropped, you know, already, I think right now he averages, what, 16 points a game in two games, already showing his scoring ability and his defensive ability. Jeremy, what do you think about Jamias?
Jamias has actually really impressed me. I remember hearing about him committing to Tech and kind of a little bit reading up on him. And I thought, before I was more wise than I am now, or before I was wise as I am now, that this is a guy who's going to be a guy who wants to rock all the time, wants to shoot, doesn't really want to play defense. But wow, proving me completely different. This is a gritty, this is an athlete. And I mean, not only does he play defense well, not only does he shoot well, but he's a really good teammate. I mean, there's a number of times where he probably could have took it to the basket himself, but instead he laid off a pass that usually are really beautiful, setting up an open shot for a guy who probably has a better shot or a better chance. So I have been thoroughly impressed in just his jet, like how easily he's just kind of come into this system and how easy he's like progressing in it.
Yeah, Jamias Ramsey was a top 40 player nationally, was a 4-star, should have been a 5-star. I really don't know why he wasn't a 5-star. And I guess coming in, I mean, he could have assumed he'd be the best athlete on the team. But lo and behold, Beer went out and got Terrence Shannon, who is just a athletic freak. Dylan, what do you got to say about TJ?
He's the fastest player on the court at all times. The dude is a laser. He gets the ball. He can get to the bucket at will. He's exciting. He's thrown down a couple of really nasty dunks. Like this is our highlight reel player and a really exciting guy to watch develop into like Chris Beard's kind of player.
So, I mean, Dylan, he's kind of not the only TJ that's kind of balled out, you know, in just the first week of basketball. We also got another TJ Holyfield, grad transfer from SFA, who was the Big 12 newcomer of the week already. He's leading the team. So in the first two games, he's impressed me more than anybody else. I knew TJ Holyfield would be good, but damn, man. What do you think about TJ?
I think if you look at last year, the most important player on our team was Tariq Owens. And he was brought to fill those shoes, and I think he's going to do a really, really good job filling those shoes. He's got a little bit more offensively than Tariq does. I don't know if he has quite the shot-blocking power, but he's going to be really exciting and probably a really important player for our team going forward down low, because we are going to play four guards in Holyfield.
So speaking of big guys, new big guys, you know, Jeremy, I want to talk about Big Russ, man. Like Big Russ is another fan favorite. Everybody loves when he's in. A true 7-footer that seemed to have slimmed down, you know, already. John C. Riley's putting him to work. But he's getting up and down the court. I like it. What do you think about him?
Okay. I prayed for this day. Russell is like one of the guys I'm unreasonably excited about, because like you said, the moment he steps out in the court, he's like the biggest dude, and he's not lanky. I mean, I'm not out of my realm saying he's Zion-esque in that he went up to dunk, obviously didn't finish it, but the entire basket, you know, kind of started coming forward before he let go. He's a little bit, and I'll go with the cons first so I don't overexcite myself, seems a little lost at times, and that may just be like the adjustment at the beginning of the year into Beard's system and just the pace of the game. But like you said, Aubrey, he's actually quicker than most people expect going down the court. He can impose his will, though, man. So I'm really excited to see, like, he is going to at some point get it. And the moment he gets it, we have ourselves a hell of a big man that I would put up against Azubuike later in the year, for sure.
So Russ, I think, is a guy that you don't expect too much from this year. It's kind of how I look at it. I think he is a guy that you will look at and say in 2021, he's going to be a beast of a player. But right now, I think he is an experiment. But the fact that he's getting as much, he was one of the biggest, one of the scouts, the national scout said that he was one of the biggest improving prospects in the entire country last year. Went from like a 2-star to a 4-star in one season. And then you kind of already seeing him getting rotation minutes as a freshman, which nobody imagined he'd get when he got his scholarship offer. So Big Russ, definitely a guy. But I do want to give you a chance to talk about a transfer from Virginia Tech, Chris Clark, who was added to kind of give us some size, but he's a guy that we've seen dribble up the court and then also play big and block shots. Kind of great. Jeremy, what do you think about him?
Yeah, I think Chris Clark, one of the reasons that Beard like beelined it to Clark was his defensive abilities, something especially people at Virginia Tech hyped on a lot, is just the grittiness. I mean, he embodied the street dog mentality before he really even knew what that meant, at least in a Texas Tech context. So from what we've seen, at least so far, he's definitely got it, and it's going to be just the ability for him to create chaos and offensive, like in the opposing offensive game. It's just going to be invaluable, especially in conference. It's just creating that chaos to give us the edge and to give us a chance to, you know, pad a cushion between us and whoever we're playing.
Yeah, and then Dylan, last but not least, Clarence Nattingly. We kind of talked about it. Man, he's a firecracker. He was ready to throw down against Bethune-Cookman the first time when he was throwing those elbows. And then again, whenever Jamias Ramsey got taken down, one guy was off the bench ready to you know, fight. And that was Nattingly. What do you think about him?
He reminds me a lot of Avery Benson, just like maximum effort at all times.
Do that to Clarence.
The definition of a Chris Beard, a Chris Beard player. And I actually expect it's going to be those two guys pushing each other for minutes come later in the season. But I did want to touch just on Chris Clark for a second. Defense and versatility are his top two attributes, and that's exactly what Chris Beard wants. So,
yeah. For sure. I mean, some other new guys, and Tom Boy, you know, he's not going to play. And neither is Reek Smith. Both big guys going to give us size, but those are kind of projects, if you will, we'll see in the next year or two.
Should we allude to Tom Boy's, like, side benefit to his, you know, his brother's possible, down?
You going to disrespect the man like that?
No, I just thought maybe maybe we would lose to that. But we'll see. I mean, we made the top 10 for the number one prospect in 2021, but what's that matter?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we did, you know.
Talking about this year's team, Jeremy.
I just got excited. Everybody's getting excited about it.
Shout out to Beer for the long game. I feel you, you know. And Tomboy's not going to play, and Tomboy probably won't play until his brother gets – are you saying we're dangling his brother over? Like, he gets no minutes until his younger brother comes.
You bring your
here.
Brother here, otherwise. Yeah, you're
otherwise. But yeah, and then Reek, who was a big get for Tech, but again, he's a long-term project. Of course, Savrasov and McCullough didn't play last year. I don't see Savrasov getting many minutes this year, but I do think McCullough will. I think McCullough brings a lot of good size to this team, but I think he also he had injury problems so far, both in high school and now in college. He's got to get healthy. I think that's his biggest thing.
We need McCullough's size. Like, we're going to play a lot of guards. We need his size, and his skill for his size is pretty sweet. You saw one play where he made a ball fake to the corner three as soon as he caught the ball and then zipped it inside to TJ Holyfield. Like, the guy's got nice vision.
All right, so now that we've kind of talked about, you know, the players, the roster, the team that you're going to have, who the starters? I mean, Dylan, you've kind of harped on it, this four-guard set. Now, when you're talking about the four guard set, are you including Clark and McCullough? I mean, I don't, but I'm asking, like, do you include them as guards? Like, what are you looking at the starting lineup to be?
Through two games, it's been Edwards, Moretti, Ramsey, Shannon, Holyfield. The big surprise is that Chris Clark isn't in there, but I think you've seen why with Terrence Shannon. But Chris Clark and Terrence Shannon are the two that they can handle the ball like guards, but they're a little bigger. I don't know if I consider them forwards. They're kind of that hybrid positionless player that Chris Beard likes. But I think the lineup that he rolled out, he's going to go with unless Chris Clark picks it up.
What about you, Jeremy? Do you like that lineup?
I think I really do. And for all the reasons that Dylan explained, in addition to like Clark's compared to like if we're just going to say Clark and Shannon are you know, changing out or interchangeable there, Shannon just has all the offensive talent that Clark just doesn't. And so if we roll forward, it's a statement by Beard saying, you know, I want to go out and I want to get baskets quick, and then I want to lock them down defensively the rest of the game to where they can't catch up. And if that's truly the case, I think this might be our best lineup going forward, because these guys, I mean, they're pretty much automatic when they get into a groove, and that's really what Texas Tech is going to need just this whole season to break our stereotype of being good at defense but only averaging, you know, only having to score 60 points a game.
So I won't be the problem for this team. I don't think scoring is going to be the issue for this team whatsoever. Now, I will say what I want and what I is going to happen are two different things. I like Chris Clark as a starter. I think his value is him being starter, and I think he wouldn't have transferred if he didn't think he was going to get a lot of minutes. So I want him as a starter. I actually don't think he should replace Shannon. I know Red Raider Nation's not going to like me for saying this because I know a lot of people like this guy. I think Kyler Edwards should be the sixth man. I think Kyler Edwards works as the sixth man. Gives you instant offense, right? And his defense in the first couple games has been on point. So especially when Moretti sits down, I think Kyler Edwards is a perfect guy to have there at all times, kind of stagger the both of them. Or when Ramsey sits down, having Kyler Edwards out there. I like Kyler Edwards as a sixth man, and I would start Clark. I wouldn't take Terrence Shannon off at all, but I would start Clark instead of Kyler. That's me. That's what I think should happen. That would give you size. It'd also kind of give you, I know we're playing positionless basketball and that's the rave, but I like positions. I'm old school like that. I like having Moretti at the one, Ramsey at the two, Shannon at the three, Clark at the four, and Holyfield at the five. Starting Clark gives you that. Kyler there kind of, you, it is more positionless. It is more TJ in the middle on defense. And then on offense, everybody's spread out. You know, Chris Clark's also a very good offensive rebounder. On offense, because TJ plays more on the perimeter, you're kind of relying on Jamias to be the guy in the middle with the big guys. So I like having Chris Clark start. That's me. What's gonna happen, I agree with y'all, it's gonna be the four guy lineup that we brought out. But I like Chris Clark starting.
I could see that lineup happening if we were playing against a particularly big team. You know, because Chris Beard's never been locked into starting lineups.
That's true. He's not afraid to change it up, especially when in March. So I don't see it. I see that. I see a lot of combinations happening over the course of the next few months for sure.
So now what about the rest of the guys? Like when it comes to our depth and our rotation, Jeremy, who makes the rotation? We kind of touched on it a little bit. But Ryan, the first couple games, we've kind of seen upwards to 11 guys playing consistently. That hasn't really been Beard's MO come March. Usually you kind of see about 8-9 of the most guys playing consistently. Who gets cut but when it comes to minutes at the end of it?
Avery Benson.
No love for Avery? The crowd loves him, man.
When it comes to the end of it, I know the crowd loves it, but when it comes to the end of it, Avery Benson, his work ethic will be outdone by talent. That's just the truth of it. But he is a good, at that point, he's a good guy to bring on to electrify. It's just like, hey, Avery, get out there, get to the corner, shoot that three, get our team fired up, come back off. we'll run that high.
We need Avery Benson to electrify the team. We got bigger problems.
You have a point, yeah.
We got bigger problems. No love for... What about you, Dylan? What do you think? Who's making the rotation on this team?
I think part of it depends on the Ntabwe decision, but I think I'm with you. I don't think he plays. And so assuming he doesn't become eligible, I think the last spot on this roster is between Benson and Ned only. They're like I said, they're similar guys to me. We've got McCullers is in my rotation. Really? McCullers is in. And then if we're going nine deep, so we have the starters. And then it's Clark, McCullers, Benson, Nadoli, and Chua.
And yeah, Chua got to play.
He's got to play. You've got to get him that experience.
Yeah, I think we got to see.
You got to scare other teams.
It'll be interesting. We don't have another big. And well, honestly,
Savrasov is big.
He's not big enough. We need a Udoka Azubuki
stuff. I will say I was surprised how much Savrasov played on the perimeter. Right, like I guess in my head, you know, because I didn't get to see a lot of Savrasov tape, he's a foreigner, so I didn't see much of him as tape, and so my ignorant assumption was is he's 6'7", 225, he's gonna be like most of the foreign big men we have at Tech that just post up, do a jump hook, and we yell, please, Lord, no, don't shoot a three. But he's been on the perimeter for the most part, so I kind of agree with y'all on the fact that he's not big enough. And we, you know, he kind of didn't seem like that great of a defender. Now, he didn't get enough points to really justify how good of a defender he could be, or enough minutes, I mean. But I agree with y'all. I don't think Savrasov is playing. I think Natalie's in, man. Like, I think actually the question is more McCullough versus Benson. I think Natalie... is he was recruited here to get minutes right away. You see the quickness in his game. I think he has a lot of things he needs to shore up a little bit. But you see the quickness. You see the. I think the thing that's going to keep him out of the rotation is if he might be the new Brandon Francis. So that's the only thing that might keep him out of the rotation because he is a firecracker. But I think teams need guys like Brandon Francis, like Clarence and Adam Lee.
Hey, I'd love to just pause for a brief moment of morale boost and just think at some, you know, at one point McCullough was like the prospect that was coming into Tech to make it happen. And now he's, you know, fighting for that last spot, at least in our like imaginary roster, but more or less like
not in mine, but
beer. Well, you get it. But like Beard, yeah, a little rough around the edges for Dylan's roster, but it's Beard has like just this program's shot up so fast that at one
point, no love for Davide. Davide was the top prize a couple seasons ago.
But we really went from like we went from Moretti and McCullers to like Ramsey
and yep
Shannon and this new guy whose name escapes me who
Michael
just committed.
Peavy's coming next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, there you go. Peavy. Thank you.
Because of Jamias Ramsey,
who might be committing tomorrow.
Namiri Burnett.
Yeah, Burnett. I mean, like it wasn't for...
We're recording this now, so I guess by the time you're listening, we'll know, but...
We'll know that if we're fools or we're really smart.
Yeah, we're recording this
crystal
now.
Crystal ball's trending Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't trust that crystal ball stuff. That stuff is...
I don't either, man. Truly. I don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah. Yeah, Dylan, we don't want to look like fools.
Fools, Dylan.
Jared Daigie, no relation?
No comment.
But, I will say Namari Burnett would be huge. I don't want to. Like, no, you know what? I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into
don't,
it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't want to get into it.
Point being but, is that wow, where what a couple years. Wow, how far we have come. It's nice.
Before we get into you know what we expect from this team, what we want to talk about this team, guys, we make money now. So we have to make money some. We have to find ways to make money. So our partners are going to talk about a little bit. You are listening to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. And we're back on the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. So guys, this team is really good, as we know. But what about the rest of the Big 12? I mean, at the end of the day, as good as this team is, we still got to play some games. We still got to play... You know, we still got to play the Big 12, which is always a good basketball conference. Who are some teams in the Big 12, Dylan, that you think is really going to give this team some problems?
I think it really only comes down to Kansas and Baylor. Kansas is bringing a lot back. Udoka Azubuike's back. Sylvia DeSosa's eligible again. They're bringing in Jalen Wilson, one of the top recruits of the country. And then their point guard, Dotson's really good too. So Kansas is, you know, they're Kansas. They're deep. I expect them to be a hard team to beat. And we're going to have to find someone who can cover the big guy. And then there's Baylor. A lot of people actually picked Baylor ahead of us in the Big 12, which I think is wrong, but it's fair. Tristan Clark's a dude. And then Mark Vital, they have a guard transfer, Moss, who can shoot the ball really, really well. And they've got a lot of guys returning. And Scott Drew is a really good coach. But those are the two teams I would be worried about in this conference.
You know, if we'd have recorded this pod on time, before the season actually started, I'd be like, man, you know, Baylor, that's a team I got to worry about. You know, and then you watch them play their first two games and you're like, yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, the first game didn't go very well.
Yeah. To a Washington team. Yeah, anyways, Baylor's already lost this year. So, and then Kansas, who knows even who's even going to be eligible by the time we play them. But is there anybody else that you're kind of fearful of there, Jeremy?
Yeah. As we go forward, I'm keeping an eye on Texas. As hard as it is to say after watching them last year, I watched them play Purdue, and Matt Coleman was on fire. It was super cool to see Andrew Jones come back from his battle with leukemia. So just, man, super thankful for that. Super thankful that he got through that. But Matt Coleman coming through, Jericho Sims, Gerald Liddell, like there's a lot of chemistry there that I don't think was there last year. And if Smart becomes a good coach or whatever, I think Texas might have a lot to say in the conference this year.
I was about to say, who's their coach again? Oh, yeah, Shaka Smart.
They have every reason to be a problem this year. I just don't believe in Shaka Smart.
Right, there's a big asterisk.
Yeah, they have every reason to be good every year. right? Like they just, but true. It's, I don't, I, you know, I, like y'all said, I don't believe in Shaka at all. Andrew Jones is, I mean, hey, look, that's one guy I'm never going to, you know, root against. Rivalry be damned. I hope Andrew Jones gets everything that he's supposed to get. That's a great story. He's a great guy. But yeah, Texas. Yeah, no, I don't care. Yeah, I honestly think there's, Dylan touched on it. There's only one team. There's only one team. That's Kansas. The Kansas team is really good. The Kansas team's really good. They did lose their first game of the season to Duke, you know, by 2 points. I don't really think that proves anything other than Kansas and Duke are both really good. But I think that's really the only team. Watching Baylor lose to Washington to me was like an elimination game. Like, okay, I don't have to worry about them. I really think it's just between Kansas and Tech. And then think about this. What if we see a situation where that is the new rivalry in the conference, right? Like, how weird is that, that Kansas and Tech is maybe a consistent theme of between the two having to worry about each other. But I will say this. I do bring this up. As good as Kansas looked in the first game, they didn't look as good against UNC Greensboro. They did struggle in that second game. But I think that was a little bit of a hangover as opposed to, having to worry about.
You guys don't have any thoughts on Oklahoma?
Is Trae Young still there?
Trash.
Okay. Okay. We'll come back to this later. I think
there's Oklahoma, another team to talk about, I think it's West Virginia, but
yeah,
I'm not that worried about them either.
The Huggins, yeah, no. The return of the Hugs.
Yeah, because of Bob Huggins. I kind of agree with that. Because of Bob Huggins, West Virginia is always going to have
4 or 5 starters back. Derek Culver was really good. Emmett Matthews. Like, there's reason to believe that they'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, I Iowa State was a team that I thought I might have to worry about, but then they lose to Oregon State. Like, just so this early season has kind of wiped away some of my some of the teams that I thought we may have to worry about. If you look at the early season, I see why Jeremy says Texas. I get it. That win over Purdue in Indiana was good, but we've seen this before.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait for it to play out as it does.
Yeah, like that's
Shaka's getting the opposite of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, though I will say I do think we're going to lose a game of Texas like we do every year. I mean, it is what it is.
As is tradition.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
We sacrificed that game to go far in the tournament.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's okay with me. But I, like I said, I think that Kansas is really the only team that's going to be in our way. So real quick, our season expectations next. But before we get into really the expectations of the team, who do y'all have winning the Big 12, Jeremy?
I'm going to just be bold from the get-go. I think Texas Tech will win the Big 12 this year, and it doesn't have to go through Lawrence, Kansas. I just think if we run the table elsewhere, we'll probably make it.
Dang, you ain't real. I thought you were going to say Texas. I was like, man, say it with your chest, but no.
No.
Dylan, who you got winning the Big 12?
Why not us? I mean,
There you go.
Yeah, Texas Tech, man. I think Chris Beard's got the recipe to this conference. He's dialed in, and I have all the faith in the world in this coach. Doesn't matter who's suiting up for him. He's going to coach him into it. I think Kansas is going to be a problem, and I think the secret might be Chua. Like, we need a big guy to stop Ezebuki down low, and if we can do that, we can score with Kansas, no doubt.
Hey, can I interject a bonus question in here?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
Absolutely not.
What's wrong with you? What's your bonus question?
Do we get College Game Day this year again?
I don't know.
Texas Tech Kansas game. I don't know.
I don't know what's on that weekend. You know, like they've already been here. I don't know.
That's fair. Once every decade. I think
that's their limit. ESPN is drinking the Chris Beard Kool-Aid. They'll be back
this year.
Thanks for answering, Dylan.
Yeah, like Greenberg is all about Chris
Greenberg
Beard.
Is all about Beard. He had him on the podcast, Greenberg, and everything. He loved, like, he was giddy on the fireside chat, man.
Yeah, you know what's weird is Beard does have a way with the media, and I think it has a lot to do with, and I know we're getting off topic, but I think it does have a lot to do with most college basketball coaches kind of hate the media, right? Like Bob Huggins hates the media, like Scott Drew isn't the fondest of me. So because I think there are a bunch of these like really boring people, it's refreshing when a good coach is engaging. And I think that's really what it is. And so because of like Andy Katz He's another one. Loves him. Fran Fraschilla loves beer. Like, also, because of that, I guess you guys are right. That's why, if you notice, last three, like two or three seasons, Tech on ESPN a lot. like a lot, which is great for, you know, somebody who doesn't live in Lubbock anymore. But I think that's just, you know, just a beard charm, I guess. I'm actually going to step out on the limb and say Texas won the Big 12. Kansas wins the Big 12. I think Kansas is the most talented team in the conference. I think Kansas probably has their most talented team since the Wiggins Embiid year.
Oh, wow.
This team's good. They're good. Dotson's a problem, man. We brought up Azubuike a few times, but the difference is I think Azubuike was needed last year, and he's really not this year. I think last year with him being gone actually helped the team more, just grow. If DeSouza actually is eligible by the end of the year, plot twist, I don't think he will be. But if he is eligible by the end of the year, he could be something too. But I think it's just Dotson being a man. Garrett is good. Agbaji is good. Like, the team is stacked. And so I got Kansas winning the Big 12. It may come down to, you know, a battle royale in Lubbock, Texas at the end of the year. But I got Kansas. So with that being said, you two propaganda machines, Jeremy, what is your season expectation? Like, what are you going to constitute, you know, a successful season for the Red Raiders this year?
Okay, Chris Beard has his winning percentage right now is at 75. He's at 75 as a D1 head coach. For me, expectations going forward, we have one of the best home court venues in college basketball, certainly in the Big 12, and that's been a lot of effort from Beard and a lot of response from the students, which is just supremely awesome. I love how much he engages the fan base and how personable he is. Like, that's done wonders for us. But with that comes great expectations, and I think an expectation for me to consider this season successful is winning at home a lot, not dropping the games that you're supposed to win, but certainly playing people like Kansas at home and winning against Kansas at home. I think that's huge for kind of the allure around Texas Tech, around the USA, you know, at Supermarkets Arena. For me, the success comes
the USA.
Just the USA? Yeah. Okay, they'll brand themselves. I feel like the greatest expectation for me is winning at home and then winning key games on the road. Because in the Big 12, boy, it's hard to win on the road. Every game is different. Oklahoma State proved that to us last year, a game that we should have won, but we just were not prepared, and they got all over us. So winning at home for sure, but also winning key games on the road, keep up momentum, and just staying gritty, especially in the month of, I think February is kind of our kryptonite, or late January, early February. That's a hard time for us, at least historically in these past couple of years. So just winning at home and then winning away for sure at key games.
A way to really stick your neck out and make a proclamation on the season. All right, Dylan, can you have a better answer than this vague guy over here?
Go ahead. What was the final answer?
It was just.
What was your? Hey, what was
Jeremy's
your question?
Answer? Jeremy's answer was what is? I asked, what is your what constitutes a successful season? You're just like, you know, they play good, they win.
Oh,
games.
Okay. Well, as long as everybody's having fun, like, really, who cares? Do you want, like, where do we end on the table? I said we'll win the conference. Why am I going to defend myself?
Yeah, what else? You know,
look, man. If we're going to do this,
the sunset.
If we're going to do this with one of the best rosters Texas Tech has had, we have got to win this conference, and we have got to beat Kansas in Allen, or in Lawrence, in the Allen Fieldhouse. If we're ending this streak, let's not just end it for a season. Let's go into Lawrence and let's step on the throats and be like, look, man, this is our conference now. So you're going to have to fight us for it. Like, we to be the big dog, you got to beat the big dog. We're big dog right now. Now we got to defend our turf.
All right. Well, thank you for answering the question, Jeremy. My answer to this question, I think contending for the conference championship, winning it outright would be a win, a success. And then and another tournament run has got to happen. I think a Sweet 16, I think we should be able to pencil that in now.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know my expectation?
Sure.
Y'all want to know it?
Sure.
A national championship. Nothing less.
Nothing less.
Nothing less. All right. No, I'm just joking. So I agree with Dylan. Like, pencil in a Sweet 16 for sure. I do think that this is the most, I know Jeremy kind of said it's one of the, I think this is the most just raw, talented team that basketball team that Texas Tech has ever put forward. I think that right now I look at this team and I see at least three NBA players. 95% of Tech teams, I don't even see one, right? But I see at least three, maybe even more NBA players on this team alone. I see two guys that could be one and done, right? So that's how good of a team I think this is. And so I, you know, I think that they have to prove it. And so I think penciling them in for Sweet 16 is anything less than a Sweet 16, I think will be a disappointment for how good this team is. The crazy part about this is that last year we were the national runner up, and I'm watching the first two games and I'm saying, this team is probably better. Like, this team could be better. And that's just crazy to me. And you know, a lot of people after the first Sweet Elite Eight run 2 years ago was like, okay, you know, they had a lot of seniors. That's going to fall down, right? Tech's not supposed to be that good. And then we came back and went to the national championship game, and it's like, all right, we're going to rank them, but they're not supposed to be that good. They only have three returners. And I'm watching this game, and I'm like, this team, like Dylan said earlier, they have some freshman mistakes. They have some chemistry issues for sure. If we had to play one of these, you know, Champions Classic versus Duke or versus whoever, we would have lost because we definitely have chemistry issues right now. But once they get chemistry... Once, you know, because Moretti is the leader of this team. Moretti and Kyler, once, you know, they kind of go follow those guys' leads, and really you kind of start seeing Jamias Ramsey's talent shine through, and you kind of see the ball movement work. This team is so, so dangerous. I think this team, though I do think that Kansas is going to win the Big 12, if there's one thing I know is that Bill Self don't make it to the Final Four. So I'm not too worried about Kansas. I think this team could make it back to the Final Four. And I think that's – last year I spent the whole year tempering our expectation, and the team just went to the national championship game. So I decided just to shut the hell up and say this team is going to go to the Final Four and join the propaganda machine myself. So, I think we're going to follow runner-up in Big 12, but we're going to go to the Final Four. How y'all like them apples?
I think a surprise player – or not even a surprise player, but if Davide Moretti is like the scoring – the leading scorer on this team, like the take us to the natty.
He can't miss already.
Like, yeah. He's unstoppable. And if we can keep giving him good looks from three, it's over.
Yeah. He can have a 50-40-90 season. He came extremely close last year. He's going to get it this year. At a 54 and he's going to have a 50-40-90 season in a higher volume, which is
and they move the 3-point line back. No problem.
Yeah, it's gonna be nothing for him. This team is so damn good. Like, it's, oh my god, it's so good. So yeah, I mean, this is a team to really get behind. They're gonna be really good. I will say this, and we'll get to our right before we end the pod. Jeremy, do you have any award predictions? Is anybody gonna win anything?
Jamias Ramsey, you gotta win. Just freshman of everything. I mean,
Big 12 or national? Or?
Just national, man. I don't see right. any. I mean, there's plenty of them out there, but Jamias Ramsey in this system, certainly I think he gets that award.
Dylan?
Yeah, I think Jamias Ramsey is a good pick for maybe like Big 12 freshman of the year. And
there
then,
you go. There it's more realistic.
And then, which is alternative?
And pick a guy from Kentucky?
James Wiseman?
Cassie Stanley? Oh, actually, no, he's going to win it? I mean, we're all talking about Cole Anthony's going to win it.
Oh, Cole Anthony. Yeah, that's the pick. Oh, God. Yeah, there are some good freshmen, but Jamias is the best freshman in the Big 12. And then I think maybe, what is it called? Newcomer of the year? If they're like an incoming grad transfer. TJ Holyfield. TJ Holyfield.
I do like how they just made the award. They were like, because at first I think it was newcomer for both that and freshman. They're like, no, let's separate this. But yeah. TJ, he's already won. They're going to rename the award after TJ by the end of the year. He's already won it for the first week. I was going to say maybe TJ for Big 12 Player of the Year. But I actually, because I'm going to kind of hold firm with my Kansas pick, I think Dotson's going to win the Big 12 Player of the Year. But I do think TJ is going to be first team all Big 12. I'm gonna go out and say that. Like I said, he's been the biggest. And I think Jamias is going to make an all Big 12 team.
Give me Davide Moretti, first all Big 12 team too.
Yeah, okay, and I'll say with that. Both of those guys are going to make all Big 12 teams. I don't know if it'll be first or second. But the only way they won't is if they're just like, you know what, this is too much red and black. And so they'll get thrown down to honorable mention.
Let's drown out some of the blue. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true for sure. So, I mean, it's been a season preview. This basketball team is very, very good. It's incredible to think, but this team has the potential to do the same thing last year's team did, which is I'm shocked that I'm saying that. Y'all know me. I have no problems, tearing us down if need be, yeah, this team's really good. Jeremy, where can people find you on social media throughout the year?
Just go ahead and follow Viva the Matadors. I spend most of my time there unashamedly.
Unashamedly. I must say that Twitter account has really gone downhill since I've left. Absolutely horrendous tweets. Extremely corny tweets. The GIFs haven't been the same. But still a good account. Still a good account. Anything you want to say?
In retort to that or just in general?
Just in general.
I was saying it pre-pod, and I'd love to just reiterate, I think Texas Tech has the highest ceiling this year in the Big 12, and it's really up to them. It's really up to Beard, and it's really up to the players to decide kind of where they want to finish out. I think if they go to their max potential, it's an easy – or not an easy because nothing's easy, but like it's a clear cut to the Big 12 champion. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have to really duke it out the whole season.
Indeed, indeed. Dylan, where can people find you?
At Air Raid Podcast and here on this podcast.
And as always, I actually do tweet from that account occasionally. Not much. That's mostly Dylan. And any last words?
You have the password to that account?
I do. God. Yeah. No. I do have the password to that account. Because y'all
right,
put
I'll,
it.
I'll,
y'all,
I'll be right back.
You put it in the Slack chat. So I added it real quick. And I will say my tweets are better than Jacob's. That's for dang sure. So if there's one thing I'm positive on, it's my tweets are better than Jacob's.
The only thing I have to say is bananas are an excellent source of potassium.
That's true.
I don't know what that means.
So there you go.
I'm going to need banana right, bread, though.
Congratulations, everybody.
Congratulations.
As for me, find me at Mr_IllBeSure. This team, like I said, it's a very good team. But as always, I just want to preface all this by saying Avery Benson still is not that good of a basketball player. He's cool. He's all right. You know what I'm saying? If
Houston you just Baptist, like to call out like the underdog golly, white boy on every yeah. team,
if
don't
Houston
you?
If Houston Baptist had him, then he'd be like a key guy to look out for. But, you know, like I just want us to be real about Avery Benson. You know, he's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Do you hate Wes Welker too?
Oh, geez.
Danny Amendola, trash.
Trash.
I don't think. Do you want me to go out and do my Danny Amendola hot takes?
All right. Thank you for listening to the Air Raid Podcast.
I don't think we want that. I was the leader of Moretti Hive. Okay. I want to hear that. I don't see color. I just drive straight through traffic lights at all times. All right. As always, this is the basketball edition of the Air Raid Podcast. Texas Tech's going all the way. I don't care what anyone says. And stay rock, people.